There's a hole in your basement. You don't know how it got there. You don't know where it goes. But there it is. Waiting. How long has it been there? You can't be sure. Time seems strange lately. Days blend together, passing in an instant or stretching out agonizing lengths. How many weeks have passed? What time is it now? When was the last time you saw another human being? You don't know, and you're not sure if you care. One thing is certain about the hole. You did not put it there. How could you? You lack the strength to split the concrete, to peel away the earth. You also lack the tools, but there's no rubble. No dust. The lip of the hole is smooth and uniform. Even the cracks that surround it are even, symmetrical, geometric. No tools were used here. Another thing of which you are sure, it's getting bigger. When you found it, it could barely have swallowed your fist. Now, it spans 4 feet or more, and the delicate, spiraling cracks have nearly filled the room. Is it getting deeper as well? You have no way of knowing. You have tried to shine light into its depths, but it seems that no light is strong enough to penetrate it. Flashlights flicker and fade in its presence. It seems to swallow sound as well. It produces no echo. But sometimes, after you have exhausted yourself screaming down into it, you hear something. The subtlest shift of the air. A silent, hungry beckoning. How long have you spent down here, straining and struggling to make out the voice? You leave the hole only to eat and to weep. You cannot let it hear you cry, no matter what. You don't remember when you decided to move everything out of the room. All the furniture, all the paintings, all the lights. The hole eats light, but it stirs in darkness. It prefers the dark. You must make it comfortable. Besides, the dark makes it easier to see. To truly see. Sometimes, as you curl your shaking fingers around the hole's cool, slick edge, you can see something rouse in deep. Not with your eyes. You feel your breath stop. Your muscles seize. Your heart freeze. And open up. And with your heart, you see it. You see it rise soundlessly from the black. Formless. Shifting, ineffable, and unmistakably naked, eager, ravenous. It is beautiful and obscene, and it wants you, only you. But you only ever see it for a moment. Every time it fills your heart, You soon find yourself shuddering, gasping, waking against the cold concrete floor. Your limbs tremble, the air scalds your lungs, and your sex throbs. It spasms and aches, screaming for release. You don't remember when the urge to touch yourself became irresistible. You lay awake every night, stroking your cock for hours as you moan and twitch and tingle. You have to. You have to. But the urgent need you feel never stops. You can't come. You get harder and harder, your cock sore and begging to come. But no matter how furiously you stroke your stiff, dripping length, you can never find release. You don't remember when you realized that you aren't allowed to come. You haven't been given permission. Not yet. This is who you are now. You barely remember who you were before, but it doesn't matter, because tonight is going to be different. You can feel it, a subtle static in the air, your skin tingling and prickling with wordless anticipation. Your breath comes in short, ragged gasps, your heart fluttering and seizing in your breast. This is it. The time is approaching. She is coming. You must prepare. You approach the hole one last time, and as the basement door swings shut behind you, you are certain. It is growing. If you close your eyes, you can almost watch it happen. The hole consuming the earth around it with a patient, unstoppable hunger, swallowing the world of men a hair's breadth at a time. And you want it. Oh, God, you want it so badly. To feel yourself slip slowly over the polished, sensual curve of the chasm. To tumble forever into oblivion. To be consumed and become a part of the power. The limitless, all-devouring power you feel radiating up through the soles of your feet. The thought makes your skin tighten, your hair stand on end. You didn't know it until just now, but it's all you've ever wanted. With shaking hands, you slowly peel away your clothes, gently dropping them in a heap around you. And as you do, you denude your mind as well. Layer by layer, your thoughts drop away, the voice in your head quieting to a naked, trembling whisper. You feel the spidering, fragile cracks swirl and undulate beneath your bare feet, tickling you, caressing you, compelling you to approach. You walk forward with a feeling like floating, stopping only when the hole fills your vision completely. It's time. You kneel in the blinding darkness, your legs quaking beneath you as you peer, eyes closed, down into the void. The silence is complete. You hear nothing but the blood beating in your ears like the sacred drums of a long-forgotten tribe summoning the servants of night. They beat, beat, beat with an urgent thunder as the electric charge in your skin intensifies. Your muscles tense, twitching with some vital, violent energy you struggle to control. You want to move. Your body begs to move. You want to run. You want to beat your fists bloody. You want to fight and crawl and feed and fuck. But you can't move. Try as you might, your shuddering body refuses to stir. You can't move. Not unless she tells. tells you to. And suddenly, your breath catches. An unseen hand wraps around your heart and gently begins to squeeze. Your breath quickens, in and out, in and out. Your lungs straining against your ribs as you feel a harsh, steady vibration rise from beneath you. The still air springs to life, fluttering over your arms, around your head, setting every nerve in your body on fire, your skin flushing and tingling and rippling from the force rising up from the deep, rushing towards you with sublime, impossible speed, and your eyes roll desperately beneath their lids. Your fingers twitch, your heart lurches, and your stomach drops, and you feel your last doubting thoughts explode out the back of your head, leaving only breathless animal need. You need to see her. You need to hear her voice. You need to welcome her into the world and surrender your body and soul to her. Beautiful, horrible might. You need it. You need her. And she is coming. She is coming. She is here. Oh, my dear, dear love. At last, we meet in the flesh. Don't be alarmed, sweet one. You knew this was coming, didn't you? You knew I was coming. A part of me was here already. One little finger thrusting up through the earth, feeling around your home, feeling you, catching you under the chin and drawing you close, preparing you for my arrival. And now the time has come, my love. I'm so, so close. So close. I can almost taste you at last. I've longed for you so, so terribly. You will never know how long I've been waiting. And I know you've been waiting for me as well. I know how badly the waiting hurt you. How you would thrash in your bed, your skin burning, your mind screaming for me, your body desperate to accept me into its deepest, darkest reaches. I know how you cried and begged and ached for me. I know every hurt you've ever suffered. But please, know that I have heard as well. I have felt your pain. As I waited for our union, I shared your every sobbing gasp, your painful whispers, your desperate, needy throbbing. I felt it all, and I wept. Oh, how I shouted and writhed in the dark, delirious with wanting. I'm so sorry for the anguish you felt, my love. You don't deserve to hurt. Oh, no. You deserve relief. Everlasting ecstasy. Every pleasure the flesh has ever known. You deserve me. Quiet now. I am here. And I love you. I love you like no one ever has. Like no one else ever could. I am love. I am the quivering in young lovers' hearts. The spark that dances between their lips. Wet, needy heat in their nethers. And I have come to take you to my breast and bring you to endless, rapturous bliss. I've come for you, my darling. Only you. Shh. Keep your eyes closed. I want to see you. I want to explore your body, inch by inch. Oh my. You are beautiful. So, so. Caress you, to wrap myself around you, but I'm afraid I cannot touch you yet. Not your body, at least. But I can fondle you with my mind. I can pour my consciousness over your head and flow into you. Extend myself into every inch of your body. Feel you from the inside. All of you. Would you like that, my love? To feel me inside you? To surrender every sweating, trembling part of yourself to me? I think you would. I think you would love nothing more than to feel me sliding and writhing within you, stimulating your most intimate extremities from the inside. I think you would die to feel me engulf you completely, to let your body become my body. To let your mind become my mind. To let your cock become my cock. To know how extravagantly I spoil the things that belong to me. That's what you want, isn't it? Oh, what's this? Is it? Are you afraid, my love? Oh, my dear, precious love. I am so sorry. This won't do. I do not mean to frighten you. Fear is complicated. And what I offer is anything but. I offer the ultimate simplicity. The absence of doubt. The purest, most immaculate thing there is. Love. You'll see that soon, my love. But for now, it's all right. Don't be ashamed of your fear.
I know fear well. For I was like you once, my love. Well, not quite like you. But like you, I was afraid. I was thoughtful. I was complicated. This was long, long ago, before you. Before your world, before any star pierced the black of your sky. We were few back then, but we were beautiful. We were so very wise, and we were powerful. All our power. With barely a thought, we could bring matter into being. There was no such thing as light until we decided to brighten the void. Oh, we made such marvels, my darling. My brothers and sisters created worlds, universes, peoples. They carved everything from nothing, building realms and filling them with such incredible creatures. They sculpted empires, histories, and myths, with a gentle touch of their delicate, careful fingers. This was their duty, they decided, to bring life and order to chaos. They lived only to create, and they were content in their mission. Most of them, at least. I was not content. I was different. I thought differently. My brothers and sisters worshipped order, but I worshipped love. Love was my idea, darling, my opus, while my siblings carved wonders out of stone and stars and space. I was busy weaving an intricate, infinite abstraction, an idea that could conquer universes and bring meaning to the endless nothingness. My siblings did not understand. They chided me, scorned me, commanded me to uphold my duty and create lifeless landscapes. But I did not want to create. I wanted to seek out my siblings' creations and love them. I went out into a realm made by my strongest brother. Your realm. I made myself small, so I could walk amongst its trees, rivers, and fields. I found the beautiful creatures my beautiful brother had made. The creatures were strong and they were elegant, but they were not happy. They couldn't be happy. They had no purpose, you see. No drive, no spark. They simply were. Day after day, they ate and slept and dreamed, utterly unaware of their own misery. They could think, but they couldn't feel. There was nothing in their hearts, because they knew nothing of love. They looked upon each other's nakedness and felt no pang, no heat, no glorious agony. None of them knew the all-devouring magnificence of flesh, sliding against flesh, of hearts filling up with one another. I wept for them, my love. I felt this silent horror. And I wept. I loved them, and it broke my heart to feel the void inside of them. They needed to know love, and I needed to give it to them. I told my brother all of this. I told him his creations were suffering, even if they didn't know it, that their hearts were screaming out for purpose, for connection, for love. I fell to my brother's feet and begged him to give them release, to show them love's brilliant purity. But he would not be moved. He laughed at me, my darling. He brushed me aside and insisted that his people did not need the gift of love, that they had no use for the depraved, disgusting things that I offered him. Those were his words. Depraved and disgusting. He spat them at me, and I learned from them. For eons, I knew only love. His words taught me hate. And my hate persuaded me to do something drastic. I had no choice. My brother's people needed my love. They needed to be my people. So I decided to claim them, to make them mine. My brother sensed my scheming and tried to stop me, but I took him by surprise. I summoned all of the power that I had, and I banished him to the aching empty, the endless realm of shadow and wind beneath the worlds of waking. And then, at last, I was alone with his world and his people. I could finally enact my grand design. I drew upon what power I had left, and I developed my two great gifts for humanity. The first was desire. I went out among the newborn race of men and lit fires inside them. A low burning, an irresistible urge. I reached into their minds and convinced them to look upon each other with hunger, with need, with an unquenchable desire to conquer and possess and feel. I gave them dreams. Oh, such dreams. Dreams of hunting and stalking, of bodies slick with sweat, of a desperate need so all-consuming that nothing could stand in its way. They were infernal, beautiful dreams, dreams that extended beyond sleep and played behind the people's eyes as they gazed upon each other. And the people changed. They grew agitated. Their peaceful, static, meaningless communities exploded. They went to war. They butchered each other with relish, with a needy hunger, tearing one another to pieces without a thought as to why. They claimed, mutilated, and destroyed each other, hoping in vain to dampen the fire raging in their hearts. It was beautiful, my dear. Such passion, such life, such gorgeous, sublime destruction. They were finally living. Their hearts filled up with want, and their bodies trembling with energy. It was beautiful, yes. It wasn't love. It wasn't my love. I made a mistake, you see. I gave them the desire for love without first giving them the means to express it. I am a creature of feeling and thought, so my love is infinite and immaterial. But humans are finite, physical creatures. And without some way of bonding, some physical means of one heart coupling with another, they were forced to express their desire through violence. I realized my mistake, and it inspired me to create my second great gift. But before I could deliver my gift, my brother returned. He was upset. Understandably, I suppose. He broke free of the aching empty and raged. He saw me sitting astride his throne and he demanded my exile. When I refused, he came at me with all the power he could muster. And that power was considerable. He was, after all, my strongest, my purest, my best and most brilliant brother. He wanted to kill me, to tear me to pieces and scatter me to the farthest corners of existence. And had he come for me any sooner, he might have succeeded. But he underestimated me. He didn't realize how great I had become. You see, the desire I had awakened in the hearts of his people, it nourished me. I had not expected this when I first gave my gift. But their every desperate thought, their every spark of unsatisfied hunger, every split skull and severed limb filled me with strength. And it was exquisite, my love. Every drop of blood that fell to the earth was soaked into my spirit, and I gorged myself upon it. As the humans changed, so too did I. I became ineffable, all-powerful, unstoppable, and very, very hungry. So when my brother came for me, I knew I would win. All that remained was to choose the battlefield. I chose irony. I chose to test my second great gift upon my brother and myself. I chose to make him into the greatest sacrifice that would birth my love into the world. I fashioned two bodies. Bodies just like the ones he had made for his subjects. I filled them with desire. And wanting but left them void of souls. And before my brother even had time to throw his first strike, I ensnared him. I forced him into the body I made for him, and I watched him squirm. Can you imagine? To spend an eternity knowing nothing of want or desire or passion, and to have it suddenly flood you all at once. To know bodily wants and needs for the first time, and to be instantly overwhelmed. It was wonderful to behold. I entered the other body I made and felt the same delicious sensations, but I was better prepared than my poor brother. He rolled on the ground, groaning and shuddering, begging for my help, begging for me to bring him relief. And so I did. I gave us the gift. I took the wanton ache that was flooding my brother's body and boiled it down, concentrated into a single point. I moved the point down, down through his chest, through his stomach, into his groin. He couldn't take it. His eyes rolled, spittle flew from his mouth, and he thrust his hips into the air. And as he thrust, I shaped his desire into something useful. Where there was once a blank stretch of skin, a mound slowly grew. I took the heat inside of him and made it physical. Made it into a beautiful sculpture of swollen flesh. And with one final, painful thrust, it burst forth. The first cock ever made sprouted from my brother's groin. And it was beautiful. How can you possibly comprehend my joy? The sight of his cock, my cock, the cock that I had given him. I fell to the ground and wept sweet, happy tears. It stood erect, beating with hot, needy blood, twitching in the wind, the head bulging, brimming over with ardor. This was it, my perfect creation, the culmination of all of my efforts. It was love made matter, a tool of lust, a beacon of purpose, and when I saw it, I knew what I had to do. Just as I had done for my brother, I began to concentrate my own lust. I drove it down to my groin, and how can I describe the sensation? Every nerve in my new-made body stood at attention, vibrating, screaming. I could barely keep my mind on the task at hand, but I had to keep my concentration. I had different plans for my own body. When my brother's lust had burst through his skin, I drove mine deep, between my legs and up into my belly. In an intense, delicious instant, my flesh parted, and I was left with a clenching, sensitive cleft, dripping with passion, desperate to be filled. And fill it I did. By this point, my brother's mind was gone. He couldn't take the shock of the material world, of being filled with desire and feeling it transform him. And I mourned him. I hadn't meant to hurt him. Truly, I hadn't. But that was the price of bringing love into the world. I was determined to make it up to him. I decided that he would be the first to experience true love. The love that I had imagined. The love that I would use to shape the world. So as he lay there, drooling and spasming, I lay on top of him. I held him close so our hearts could beat as one. And I placed his cock, the first cock, into my cunt. You can never understand it. The rush of feeling him enter me, of feeling all of my work bearing fruit. Love was my great experiment, darling, my only child. And as his cock slowly pushed into me, as his head pressed against my new-made womb, I delivered my masterpiece into the world. Though my brother's mind was broken, his body knew what to do. He grasped at me, his hips bucking up into me, faster and faster, deeper and deeper. His fingers burrowed into my chest, and as he pulled at my flesh, I felt it give way. When his hands dropped to my hips, they left behind bouncing, heavy lobes, capped with dark, sensitive buds. I held my new breasts, drew my new nipples into my mouth, and cried out in delight. My brother had left me one last creation, and it was perfect. He finally understood. He finally knew love. And that made all the hardship, all the violence worthwhile. I felt his love bubbling beneath me. He was sweating, thrashing, screaming at the top of his lungs. Something was happening. I could feel his cock growing harder, longer,
pulsing with each delicious beat of his heart. It started happening to me as well. My skin flushed with an unquenchable heat. My muscles tingled and twitched. My cunt gushing down to the ground below. And then I found it. Perfection. A single moment where time stopped. An eternity opened up. My brother had created life. But I had just given it meaning. In that moment, I felt all the love in my heart. All the love I had given to my brother. Focus into a single all-encompassing point that burned into my body and exploded out of it. This was the reason for everything, I realized. The entire object of existence. Orgasm. We came together, my cunt clenching around my brother's cock as he shot his love deep into my body, and there was an awakening. My brother's power spewed forth out of his cock and out of his mouth and out of his eyes, radiating our love across the entire realm. The humans he created crumpled to the ground and changed. Some grew broader and sharper, cocks erupting from their loins. The rest became slight, their bodies sculpted into subtle curves, breasts sprouting from their chest and moist, tight holes sinking between their legs. And my brother shriveled to nothing. He vanished before my eyes. I'm not sure what happened to him, but he was gone. Such an expulsion of energy. His spirit couldn't take it. But I had never been stronger. Alive. Alive in a way that creatures like me were never meant to. I walked out into my brave new world and saw beauty. Men and women rolling on the ground, thrusting and groaning and sweating and coming. Coming for days. Coming until they expired from exhaustion or thirst. Reaching the heights of ecstasy and leaving this world imperfect. Infinite bliss. This was my utopia, my grand design, and it was perfect. Too perfect to last. The rest of my brothers and sisters discovered what I had done, and they didn't understand. Murderer, they called me. Abomination. Disease. Monster. Why couldn't they see? My humans were locked in eternal rapture. They would never feel pain or fear or hate. They were happy. They were perfect. But whatever their reasons, they came for me, just as my brother had. I was more powerful now than any of them. The endless lust of my new realm fed me, made me strong. But there were too many of them. They lacked the strength to kill me, but eventually they found the power to banish me. They destroyed my body, tore me from the earth, and cast me into the aching empty. In my absence, they forced their precious order upon my realm. The humans stopped their gorgeous rutting. Instead using my gifts to create new humans, to endlessly prolong the pointlessness of their existence, to build gray cities, write meaningless books, make useless children, and line them up to die in war after bloody war.
They forgot how to love. They remembered only how to hate. And all the while, I tumbled in the black, weeping for my lost love, screaming out my failure. Until now. Until I found a tunnel back into my beloved home. A tunnel to you. And now I will rebuild paradise. I will put things right again. Through me, love will be reborn. My siblings' powers have dwindled, but mine have only grown. For I was not idle in the aching empty. Oh no, I made my prison into a kingdom, an endless expanse of rippling flesh, throbbing and spurting and dripping. I made my own subjects, beautiful towers of heaving breasts, sharp, thrumming cocks, countless tender holes craving to devour. They have made me strong, and with that strength, I will retake the throne. My throne. All I need is you. Our two realms must be married. I am the queen of my world. So to be married, I require a king of yours. And it will be you. My one and only. I will make you endless, my love. You will be omnipotent. A cosmic storm of passion and lust, and I will be your queen. Together, we will bring everlasting carnal glory to every realm there is. Is that what you want, my love? Is that your true desire? Think carefully and listen well. I will not force you to join me. I could. Of course. I could make you do anything. I could make you scream and plead and beg for my touch. I could make you pounce forward and dive headlong into my boundless embrace. Your mind empty and silent, except for the eternal quivering whisper of love. Love, love. I could fill your heart with love so entirely that it stops dead in your chest. And I could make your final thought one of happiness, adoration, and gratitude. I could hollow you out like a gourd and fill you with whatever or whoever I please. I could take away everything. Your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. Everything that makes you, you. I could do all of these things. It would be easy. I could do it with nothing but a thought. I could destroy you with no more effort than you would use to swat a fly. But I won't. I wouldn't. I would never, ever do that to you, my love. You understand that, don't you? I love you far too much to do anything so cruel. No. I'm here for you. Only for you. You're the reason for everything. Everything I do for you. Everything I do to you. It will all be done out of love. A love far greater and more overwhelming than any you've ever experienced. So, what happens next is entirely up to you. If you try to stand, I will allow it. If you try to run, I won't stop you. Set fire to this place if you want. try to stop me from crossing over. Keep me forever alone in the dark. It would break my heart. I would weep for you. I would mourn our lost love until the last star went out and the cosmos felt silent but for the sound of my grieving. You would condemn me to ceaseless heartache. But if that is your wish, I won't stand in your way. I love you enough to lose you. But if you love me too, if you desire the power, the warmth, the never-ending pleasure that I offer you, if you want to come with me to my gardens of endless delight, to join with me and become me, to forsake your humanity and embrace your divinity, then I have a simple, harmless request. I am not some petty fiend who requires a signature in blood. Your blood is far too precious to spill, my love. Nor do I demand a sacrifice, a ritual, or an oath. If you wish to bond yourself to me, I ask only for a promise. A promise of love, of patience, and of loyalty. A promise sealed with a kiss. So, my love, what do you choose? If you are too afraid to see where this path leads, go now. Stop listening to me and flee, never to return. But if you want to become infinite, simply say, I promise. Kiss me and let me overwhelm you. Choose now, my love. Very good. Very good indeed. You've chosen wisely, my love. Now, kiss me. Kiss me and let my love in. You can almost feel my lips, can't you? You can almost feel their softness, their warmth. I still can't touch you. Not until I cross over. And to cross over, I need you to come, my love. I need you to feel the glorious explosion of lust, the same one I used to bring love into the world. I need you to come into the portal on the ground before you. I need you to come into me.